Hello, friends. Greeting you with all the love and joy to be here from Austin, Texas. What's so cool is seeing people from all over the world listen to this podcast. Thinking of you all working on your health and progressing forward gives me so much purpose, and I really enjoy doing this every single week. I really do. And hey, if you're ever in Austin, actually, you definitely should come by and check out the Nurse Doza Clinic. This is where we broadcast every time from. We have IVs, we have red light therapy, we have the Opus sound bed, which is a subwoofer sound bed you lay on and have basically a guided meditation. It's amazing. We have powerful vitamin supplement drinks, and we have an amazing health and wellness community here. Seriously, we threw a party last week. It was a health and wellness party with no alcohol and a DJ. It was incredible. And we would love for you to join us next time and meet us in person. So please come see us in Austin soon. Today's episode is all about the top five ways conventional medicine can improve upon. I define conventional medicine as the most traditional mainstream medical practice you can imagine. This is a practice that has been considered to be the quote-unquote preferred medical approach to any disease and health problem. Under the current medical model, we spend more on healthcare than any other developed country, and yet we are some of the unhealthiest people in the world. The current U.S. stats, 1 in 4 people have a fatty liver, and most people don't know it. In 2021, someone died of a stroke every 3 minutes and 14 seconds in the United States. 1 in 3 people are pre-diabetic. Every 65 seconds, someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I want to make it very clear. I am on the side of wanting to see things get better. I think there are some fine folks in conventional medicine, and it's those very people who would be paramount in changing conventional medicine as we know it today. No sector of health is perfect. We all need improvements. To be against criticism is a true downfall. So while I may be very stern on things I think need to change, know that it comes from a place of love, knowing that modern Western medicine today can be doing so much better, and the potential has not been reached yet. You ready to talk about this? Let's do it. Class is in session. The first way that conventional medicine needs to improve is they need to address the liver. And I say they, not against conventional medicine. I'm on this side, though. I'm not conventional medicine at all. I was at one point. When I was in conventional medicine, there was no talk about the liver. But yet, every single medication goes through the liver to be processed and metabolized. And yet, if 1 in 4 people in this country have a fatty liver and most don't know this, then we think about this. Let's look at the bigger picture. What could be done for the liver? Every single doctor, practitioner, has encountered a patient that probably has an issue or a question about their liver. Let's be honest. But with obesity and diabetes on the rise, not only in adults, but children, I think pediatricians need to be talking to the parents and the kids about fatty liver disease and how to prevent it. Now, this is where it gets really fascinating, because you and I both know that obesity is a serious problem. And if you look at pictures of kids today and adults today versus kids and adults 60 years ago, we are a lot heavier. Why? Look at our lifestyle. Processed food is to blame. When we talk about all the food we eat, keep in mind all medications go through the liver, but every single food or beverage you have ever consumed also goes through the liver. Think about all the damage we've done to our livers throughout the years, and think about all the damage kids are doing to their liver right now. I'm not asking much from traditional conventional medicine. Let's all be in the agreement of diabetes and obesity are two of the worst things that you could ever develop in your life. We can all agree upon that, right? So why can't we all agree upon the idea that we need to do something about obesity and diabetes right now? How you address obesity and diabetes? You treat it by addressing the liver. When there's a problem with the liver, there's a problem with obesity. When there's a problem with the liver, there's a problem with diabetes. You have to address the liver. The reason we talk about the liver so much, and the reason why we're so popular about talking about the liver, is because no one else is talking about the liver the way we're talking about it. The reason why we have liver supplements is because no one else is going to recommend you something for your liver. It's starting to become a trend now, but think about this. I've been in practice for almost, oh my gosh. I started in 09 as a chiropractor, and I started as a nurse practitioner in 2014. So I've been practicing for a long time. This entire time I'm practicing, over the span of 3 decades, I look and I say, liver is probably the biggest issue that no one's talking about, and I'm going to be the one who has to talk about it this entire time, I guess. But it's only the last year or two that we've been talking about it online. We've been having to talk about it in the clinic day in and day out, and we get through to a lot of people. However, we say this is a message that needs to be reached and heard across the world, because yes, 1 in 4 Americans have a fatty liver, but 1 billion people around the world have a fatty liver. And when we opened up and said, I can't thank you enough for all the people around the world listening to this podcast, it's because all the response from the last couple of years have been about what to do about my liver, because it seems like there's no doctor or practitioner in this world that's talking about what to do about a fatty liver. And in fact, the frustration I get a lot of times in practice is I will have time after time, a client comes in with a diagnosis of a fatty liver or an ultrasound scan of a fatty liver, and the doctor will literally tell that patient, that client of ours, you have a fatty liver, nothing to do about it. And that's the conversation. I can't tell you how many clients have told me over the years, their doctor said, I had a fatty liver, told me I had a fatty liver, but didn't tell me what to do about it. The frustration I had when I started practice was, I had low back pain. No one told me about a chiropractor. They just told me about injections, medications, and eventually surgery. I had to go out of my way to find out about chiropractic, a natural way to help heal low back pain. And guess what? I did it without surgery and meds. But I wanted to go further. I wanted to say, how else can you heal the body without other, you know, unneeded medications and surgeries? Because let's be honest, a doctor is going to prescribe medication. And there's no single medication to help support the liver. I repeat, all medications go through the liver. All food and beverages go through the liver. And all those things could possibly destroy the liver. But yet, to date, there is no single medication that will help support liver health. There's supplements that will. There's plenty of supplements. There's thousands, millions of supplements out there that are designed for liver health. You imagine that we have two of them. We have Liver Prime. We have Liver Boost by MSW Nutrition. Those are our top two selling supplements, by the way. Liver Boost has been by far our top selling supplement for the last 4 years. Liver Prime recently came out and it's already our number two. You know what our number three is? It's Zen, our adrenal support. Zen, which you're probably going to need after this podcast is over. You imagine if you just supported your liver like day in and day out, like what you would do for your health? Like how hard is it for a doctor just to say, hey, take some milk thistle. Hey, take some NAC, NAC. In fact, actually, we talk about there's no medication for the liver. I lied, actually. There is one medication for the liver. One essential medication listed in the WHO's essential medication book. N-acetylcysteine, NAC. It is an essential medication listed in the WHO handbook, and it is found in every single emergency room department across the country. And if you overdose off of acetaminophen or Tylenol, and go to the ER, you would basically kill your liver if you did. But if you went to the ER, they'd give you an IV bag full of NAC to bring your liver back to life. And how many times does a doctor or practitioner ever tell you take NAC because you have a fatty liver, or guess what? It could help your liver if it's inflamed, because it helps your liver when you destroy it with Tylenol and with acetaminophen. That's incredible, right? Think about that. No medication for the liver, yet there's a supplement. And by the way, N-acetylcysteine, our liver makes it. We give it in IVs every single day here. Another way that conventional medicine needs to improve, focus on the mental well-being of the individual. Now, this is where I really think conventional medicine needs to really tackle this issue before it gets out of hand. Obesity and diabetes, let's just be honest, conventional medicine has failed us. If you're looking for your doctor and your practitioner to help you fight diabetes, the best they have is semaglutide, right? And it's not the doctor other than just prescribing it. It's just saying, here, take this magic shot. But the depression that comes with diabetes, the depression that comes with obesity, who's addressing that? The doctor who diagnoses depression for a patient does not use a blood test, does not use an MRI. Well, the depression diagnosis comes from a questionnaire that the doctor or practitioner will go over with the person and say, based off these three or four questions, I think you're depressed. Here is your antidepressants. And when that antidepressant doesn't work, we'll give you another antidepressant. And when that antidepressant doesn't work, we'll give you two antidepressants. And when those two antidepressants doesn't work, we'll give you another one. We will change three or four different antidepressants through the course of the next 30 or 40 years of your life, maybe diagnose bipolar, ADHD, or schizophrenia in there as well. And yes, by the way, the person will also have a fatty liver, a leaky gut, they'll have autoimmune disorders and a compromised immune system, and they'll work behind a desk 8 to 10 hours a day, but let's not include that at all because those are separate conditions, right, doctor? But when you think about it, 1 in 10 Americans today are suffering from depression. 1 in 5 young adults are suffering from depression. And if you come to a doctor's office and all they do is give you pills to help you with your depression, what do you think is going to happen in 10 to 20 years? What's going to happen to the individual after the pills don't work after the first 6 months? Are they going to increase the dosage? Are they going to mention anything about finding a community that supports them in their times of need? Is there any talk about depression when it comes to somebody going through semaglutide treatment because they're trying to lose 100 pounds. You have to imagine, as a doctor, you wouldn't talk about the depression with a person who wants to lose 100 pounds. This person is eating their feelings. This person is addicted, quote unquote, to salt and sugar, and they keep eating their feelings saying, I can't stop. I need a pill. I need a shot to get my appetite under control because that's the only way I'm going to lose weight. But yet there's still inflammation and a fatty liver and a leaky gut and there's poor sleep. There's an overstressed individual and all of that, and the person is screaming out for help. And if you give them a pill and you give them just that glimmer of hope, imagine that's the start, but it's got to be more than that. Conventional medicine, you have to support the individual who's going through the depression, taking your medication, your prescription. When you see them every single week, when you see them every single month, you have to ask them more than, how you been feeling lately? No, you say you've been going to yoga class. If not, I'll go to yoga class with you. Conventional medicine, you as a practitioner, you should go to yoga class with your clients and your patients. If they truly need help with their depression, you take them outside and you get them sunlight. You give them a hug. When I was in nurse practitioner school, they taught us not to hug. They said, do not touch your patients that way because it gives off the wrong vibe. Oh my God, I had a physician one time tell me, he goes, you want to know why chiropractors get patients better? And I looked at him, I said, why? He goes, because you put your hands on the patient. The power of touch is stronger than any medication that you could ever give an individual. And if you want to talk about placebo effect, then let's talk about how strong the mind really is. If you believe that you're going to be healthy, it's going to happen. If you believe you're sick, it's going to happen. If you are looking for the answer in the palm of your hand, I'm telling you right now, I hope to God it's not just a pill in your hand. I am not a healer, and a medication and a pill or an injection is not going to heal you either. It's part of the whole process in getting your depression under control, because guess what? Depression's not going to go away after that first pill. Depression doesn't go away after 30 days of taking antidepressants. You wake up a year later, depression's still there. You wake up 3 years after stopping alcohol, depression's still there. You wake up after the third or fourth kid and 30 years of marriage, and guess what? Depression's still there. You accomplish the job promotion. You close the $1 million deal. You retire a multimillionaire. And guess what? When you're age 65, depression is still there. Don't tell me a pill is going to take all that away. Don't tell me that diet and sunlight and community is not as important, if not more important, than the antidepressant that we prescribe patients. Even the American Diabetes Association updated their new guidelines for diabetic patients. And I quote, the very first updated recommendation in 2023 that the American Diabetes Association recommended was address the use of community health workers to support the management of diabetes and cardiovascular risk factors, especially in underserved communities and healthcare systems. Why do you think we threw a health party last week with no alcohol? Because community is what's going to heal us. It's not a pill. The magic pill is the community. They talk about diabetes management and chronic care models to help manage, you know, medications. Yes, the person's going to be depressed, trying to lose weight, trying to not be a diabetic anymore, but they're still a person. They're still going to experience happiness. Who's going to be there to experience the happiness with them? You think that patient that loses the 100 pounds is going to go back to the doctor and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Here's my here's flowers for you. Here's a ticket to the Super Bowl for you. You got my life back on you. But they're not going to say that. They're just going to go back to that doctor and say, give me another refill. And the doctor says, okay, here you go. Keep doing what you're doing. You felt the energy just change? You just felt what it's like to walk into a traditional, conventional doctor's room. And all they have for obesity and diabetes right now and fatty liver disease is semaglutide. That's all they have. All the modern advancements in medicine, there are zero approved treatments that work to cure diabetes. There are zero treatments out there for Alzheimer's. And we spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on diabetes care and Alzheimer's care, and there's zero cures. And if we flip this and we say, let's start on mental wellness and the brain at the earliest age possible, in grade school, pediatricians are talking to kids about depression, because I'm telling you right now, depression is prevalent amongst grade school kids, especially after the pandemic. Everyone was what? Separated from each other. You need community. If you hug people more, you will be happier. If someone hugs you, your depression gets better. Science proves it. You have oxytocin and serotonin and dopamine, all from a hug. And when you see someone smile, you get the same thing. Sunlight does the same thing for you as well. Another way that conventional medicine needs to improve: you need to include supplements whenever you prescribe medications. I remember when I was in chiropractic school, all the chiropractic students looked at me funny because I was starting my nurse practitioner program. You want to talk about going a whole different route. I've created my whole path my whole life. I started chiropractic school and nurse practitioner school at the same time. I was in chiropractic school during the day, nurse practitioner school at night. It was fascinating because the chiropractic students couldn't understand what I was doing. They thought I was going to prescribe meds and give vaccines. And then the nurse practitioner students were like, you're a doctor. Why are you coming to become a nurse? And I said, it's because I want to combine both. I want to combine natural methods with traditional methods. And I want to see what's the best of the two in order to get the best outcome for the patient. That was my approach. That's why I went to chiropractic school and became a nurse practitioner, because I knew I didn't have to give medication all the time. But what I was fascinated to find out when I went through nurse practitioner school, in fact, actually chiropractic school taught me this, is that all medications cause nutritional deficiencies. Every single medication that's prescribed in traditional mainstream medicine will cause some sort of nutritional deficiency. I have a list of them here. Calcium, magnesium, B9, potassium, B1, B12, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin K, zinc. All of these become deficient after the most commonly prescribed medications in the world. All the blood pressure pills, all the oral contraceptives, all the loop diuretics, right? All your beta blockers, your metformin, your proton and pump inhibitors, right? Your seizure medications, all of these, your steroids, all of these cause nutritional deficiencies. Statins cause CoQ10 deficiency. Statins are one of the most commonly prescribed medications in the world. And you know what cholesterol statin medications do? They cause CoQ10 deficiency. CoQ10 is an antioxidant, a nutrient that supports your heart. Why in the world would I give you a medication if it's going to turn right around and destroy your heart at the same time? And you say, well, yeah, but we have to give everyone statins. And I say, well, then you should also recommend they take CoQ10. Hence why I don't understand after 40 years, 50 years of commonly prescribed statin medications, knowing that it causes CoQ10 deficiency, why medications aren't also given CoQ10 as an addition with it. Like, I don't get that. Think about antibiotic. Antibiotics also destroy the good bacteria. If you give an antibiotic, why not prescribe a probiotic? Right? Metformin, one of the most commonly prescribed medications for diabetes, it causes CoQ10 and B12 deficiency. And all these biohackers want to take metformin to promote longevity. And then, of course, doctors want to prescribe metformin because they think it's going to prevent diabetes. No, it doesn't. They maintain their blood sugar a little bit, but they're still insulin resistant because they keep eating when they're not hungry. And for anyone out there, if you ever want to look at this, this is really cool. There's this website called mytavin.com. It's a database. You input all your meds, and it gives you the nutrients that you're deficient in, and it gives you the research to back it up. It even gives you like the dosages to take too. Really, really cool stuff. I mean, you talk about the doctor of the future is going to be online or on your wrist with Apple. You know, I mean, it's not going to be your doctor telling you how to get healthier. I mean, that's honest the truth. If you haven't figured this out by now, imagine if you go to your conventional doctor and you say, how do I get healthier? They're going to say, eat right and go exercise. That hasn't changed over the last 30 years. They'll probably say, go get some sleep. That's fine. But imagine if you ask the doctor, well, how's your sleep? How's your diet? Are you eating the right stuff? Can you show me how to eat the right stuff? Can you cook for me? Can you show me what my sleep cycle could look like? Can you track it for me? You know, can you track my blood sugar? Can I electively get a glucose meter to wear all day so I can track my blood sugar? Insurance doesn't pay for it, so the doctor's never going to prescribe that for you. Plus, they're going to say you don't fall into these ranges of what we think, you know, is necessary. I mean, you ever gone to the doctor and tried to get something done and they won't order it for you? Or yeah, insurance won't cover it, so then nothing ever happens? Yeah, that's what's fascinating, right? Think about taking health into your own hands. You take supplements, right? Another way that conventional medicine needs to improve, you need to treat food as medicine. And I'm talking to all the doctors out there. I know y'all are listening. Another way that conventional medicine needs to improve is you need to use food as medicine. You and I both know that food is medicine. If food is the problem and it's going to make you sick, then food is also the solution. Let's go through the list of some of the most powerful therapeutic foods that you could possibly eat. Green tea, turmeric, fish oil. Those three alone, green tea, turmeric, and fish oil, those things you can find right now. I have sardines over there. Turmeric is a $4, $5 spice. Green tea, let's be honest. You could drink that instead of black coffee. In fact, actually, black coffee. I can talk about how black coffee helps liver damage. Even 4 cups of black coffee can help repair an acute liver injury. You just can't put creamer in it because creamer is not medicine. Sugar is not medicine, okay? High fructose corn syrup is not medicine. Soybean oil is not medicine. Plant-based meat products are not medicine. You need to eat real meat. You need to eat chicken eggs. You need to eat real wild-caught fish that didn't come from a fish hatchery. You need to eat real butter. You can eat lard. You can eat real broccoli, okay? We don't have to have our fruit and our vegetables coming from us in a packaged ingredient. Just eat it raw. Like, I have to imagine, if I wanted to take food as a medicine to another degree, let's talk about resveratrol. Resveratrol is the reason why one glass of red wine is good for you. The ingredients in grapes, one ingredient is called resveratrol. And resveratrol has been shown to help you with cardiovascular issues and even help promote blood sugar and insulin control. There's thousands of articles They talk about resveratrol, the benefits of green tea, the benefits of milk thistle, the benefits of fish oil, the benefits of vitamin D supplementation, the benefits of turmeric. And yet, how many times will you walk into a community care clinic in the poorest of poorest neighborhoods and hear one single community care doctor or practitioner talk about vitamin D and turmeric or green tea? Zero. Zero times have I heard a doctor who is dealing with pain talk about turmeric or fish oil, two known ingredients that are just as effective as ibuprofen when it comes to treating pain. Zero neurologists have ever talked to their Alzheimer's patients about how green tea literally dissolves plaques in the brain. Zero endocrinologists, primary care providers, and internists have talked about how resveratrol and milk thistle not only helps your blood sugar, your insulin, but your liver at the same time. Why? Why? Because it's not a prescription? These things aren't expensive either. I'm telling you right now, if you bought all that stuff, you could get 2 or 3 months of supply of all that for probably $50. Seriously, do not tell me food is expensive. They give away food nowadays, but it's all crappy food. It's all unhealthy food. Yes, I can get a dollar burger when I want, but what am I going to get with that dollar burger 5 years down the road? I'm going to feel horrible, and I'm going to have to be on more medication. When a hemoglobin A1C, which is typically the blood test for diabetics, when it's out of range, it costs you more money. Let's get into it. Another way that conventional medicine needs to improve is you need to order labs and get them in optimal ranges for your patients. Let's talk about diabetes real quick. 1 in 3 people in this country are pre-diabetic. Pre-diabetes involves insulin resistance. That means 1 in 2 to 1 in 3 people in this country are insulin resistant right now, which means they're at risk for heart disease, dementia, cancer, fatty liver disease, and diabetes. Now, the typical diagnosis test is hemoglobin A1C. That is the typical, commonly ordered test to diagnose diabetes. And when your hemoglobin is, I think, above 6.0, most conventional doctors will say, okay, now we're going to do something about it. I don't wait till your hemoglobin A1C goes to 6.0 before I do something about it if you're one of my clients. If it's at 5.5, 5.6, you're pre-diabetic and we're doing something about it now. I don't wait till your A1C goes up higher and then I say, okay, I'm going to put you on metformin and we'll just keep watching and waiting. No, I am not doing that. You talk about getting people in optimal ranges. Most doctors, you ever heard this? I went to my doctor. I got my labs done. The doctor said everything looked good. Everything looks normal. But you walked away and you said, I don't feel normal. You ever heard that before? You ever experienced that before? There's not a day that goes by that a person in America doesn't go to a conventional doctor, gets their labs ordered, reviews it with their doctor, and their doctor says, yeah, everything looks good. Here you go. That person not only got labs for their physical, their yearly physical, they probably got labs done because something was wrong. We order tons of labs, and the reason we order tons of labs is because people order labs for two reasons. One, because they want to see how they're doing, right? Or two, something's wrong. It's as simple as that. If you guess, I don't know what's going on. I have to work with the right practitioner. And as you can tell by now, working with the right practitioner is really hard because in-network insurance providers are conventional and are not allowed to think outside the box due to regulations and boards. Seriously. So you imagine if you go practice as a cash practitioner who doesn't answer to insurance, you can order things accordingly to basically what the client wants. So in the last 10 years of me being in practice, I've ordered thousands of labs for thousands of clients. I've studied blood tests and urinalysis tests and stool sample tests and MRIs and CT scans and ultrasound scans. I've looked at them for everyone. What I have found is people, when they're in optimal health, their labs are in optimal range. I am not a healer. I am not a fixer. Neither is your doctor. Do not go to your doctor wanting them to fix you. You fix yourself. You order labs, you get these labs, and you say, okay, if my labs are out of range, that means I don't feel good. If my labs are in range, then I feel better. Exactly, right? Conventional medicine doesn't think that way. They just look for something to go out of range, and then they say, oh, here's a pill for that. That's what happens with diabetes. Insulin resistance and diabetes happens 10 to 15 years before the metformin prescription is given to you. The entire time the damage has been done, there's inflammation in the liver, there's inflammation in the gut, there's inflammation in the brain, there's inflammation in the arteries. Getting metformin in there, it might help some, but it's not going to fix the whole problem. You look at all the labs, A1C is just one of them. I go look at insulin. I go look at inflammation tests. I go look at hormones. I go look at nutritional deficiencies. Did you know that if you have a problem with insulin, you have a problem with estrogen? That's a big issue for a woman, right? How many doctors have ever ordered hormone panels for their women patients? How many? I mean, it's right now. Let's think about this right now. For all the women out there listening, how many of your doctors order hormone panels for you willingly? And on top of that, how many of your doctors outside your OBGYN have ever ordered a hormone panel for you? I'll wait. Now, those same women, let me ask you the same question, a different question. Has your doctor who prescribed you a birth control pill ever looked at your hormone panels, either before, during, or after prescribing that birth control? Yeah, that's what I thought. Conventional medicine has been probably the worst thing for women's health in the last like 5 decades. Conventional medicine does not care about women's health. They do things like unneeded surgeries. They do unneeded implants in women's most highly productive areas. They remove organs from women's bodies without as so much even an explanation. They'll suppress hormones in women for 30 years without ever putting them on it for the right reason. And then by the time the woman gets to 30 or 40 or 50, they go to those doctors needing help. And most doctors don't know what to do with women when they get to 40 or 50. They don't. They're overweight. They're out of shape. They're tired. They have hormone issues. And the best thing they can do is put them on metformin or give them semaglutide. Or better yet, give you blood pressure pills, give you an antidepressant. Right? Like I'm telling you, if you take your health into your own hands, especially if you're a woman, you have to go out of your way to find a practitioner who will work with you. And it's not in conventional medicine. I'm sorry. Just go look at all the lawsuits from the last 20 years from all the FDA approved implanted devices that went into women's uteruses. Right? I mean, how many of those surgeries now ended up in lawsuits? And I say, okay, if we order labs, labs will tell us a lot of what's going on. And when we think about what's going on, we have to take our health into our own hands. If conventional medicine listens to this podcast, they might be triggered. I'm not going to lie. And they're going to say, I've heard them all. It's not our fault. This, we're doing what we're told. We can only do this and blah, blah, blah. So I'm telling you right now, their hands are tied. I don't blame them. There's very, very smart individuals who became doctors and surgeons for the right reasons. And I've heard plenty of other doctors who became doctors because they knew they were going to make a lot of money and they were going to be good at it. They didn't necessarily become a doctor because they cared about patients' health. In fact, actually, in medical school, you're not taught how to make someone healthy. You're only taught how to manage diseases. And if you haven't realized by now, treating diseases and symptoms, that's the end game. If prevention was key, imagine how many millions of dollars you would personally save on unneeded medical expenses like medications and surgeries. If you help your kids become healthier at the earliest age possible, they will not have to spend millions of dollars on medications and surgeries. If you invest in your health right now, you're not going to the doctor anymore. If you're getting healthier, you're not going to the doctor anymore. If you're sick, you're going to the doctor. I've heard this idea that the sicker you are in the hospital, the sicker you get. How does it go? If you go to the hospital, you get sick. And the longer you stay in the hospital, the sicker you get. It's kind of weird because then on the opposite end, you say, well, the hospital is supposed to save us. They're good at emergency care, some of the best. But if something's wrong and they can't figure it out, they admit you into the hospital, and that's when it becomes a problem. So my job is primary care and family care. I got to keep people from going to the hospital. By the time you have a heart attack, it's too late. By the time you stroke out, it's too late. By the time you have a fatty liver, you know, you've had some damage done, right? But if you imagine what can be done, because I don't want you to have a bleak picture of what could be. I want you to think about what could, what is possible. Conventional medicine is a system that by design allows people to stay sick in. It's just the honest truth. They are not designed to get people healthier. So if you want to be healthier, you have to find a different system to play in, right? A healthcare model effectively emphasizes the mental well-being of the individual by ensuring that their community supports them. The American Diabetes Association is getting on board. We can see that. And I think that they have a ways to go, but they have a good start. I would love to have a discussion with them one day about it. Food as medicine, we've known that for a while. I mean, Hippocrates was talking about that. Go out there, get some vitamin D. Go outside and get as much vitamin D as you can. Take a fish oil. Take turmeric. Take milk thistle. Take green tea. Take resveratrol. Take our mitochondria. That has our resveratrol in it. If you think about, you know, wanting to go out of your way, go get a doctor who ordered labs for you. If they won't, I will. And if you need help with your liver labs, we have ways to do that for you as well. You think about the mental well-being of the individual. I'm telling you right now, the community helps a lot with it. But you got to do something to help, you know, support your brain's health. And there's not a lot of medications for the brain either. Like I said, there's zero treatments for dementia. And they're trying to figure out a new medication every single year. Is it tied to the gut? Is it tied to nutritional deficiency? Is it tied to hormone imbalance? Is it tied to sleep deprivation? Yes, all the above. That's why there's no magic bullet for Alzheimer's. It's a multidisciplinary issue that requires a multidisciplinary approach with a lot of involvement and engagement from your practitioners. I hope that the healthcare plans of the future involve practitioners who think outside the box. I hope they pay these practitioners, because if you pay practitioners to think outside the box, you get better results with your patients. And trust me, there's doctors out there that want to work in the hospital, but that's all they know. And there's nurse practitioners out there that want to work in the hospital, that's all they know. If you're a nurse practitioner, you're listening, you can do exactly what I did. You can create your own path. If you're a physician and you want to help people get off medication, create your own path. And if you're a client, if you're a patient right now who's wanting to create your own path, you can do it. I did it for myself. My personal journey started years ago, 20 years ago to be exact, when I realized I had a fatty liver. I was about 40 pounds overweight and I was headed towards an early grave. So I decided to work on my health every single year. I went to every conventional doctor out there you can imagine, and they all gave me pills and x-rays and CT scans that didn't give me any hope. When I finally figured out how to breathe, take the right supplements, find the right community that supports me, and basically break up with a toxic relationship, I was able to start healing myself. And there wasn't one doctor out there that did it for me. I did it. And every single client that comes into the clinic, I repeat the same thing to them. I will not heal you. I will not fix you. You do it yourself. I just give you the tools and the options and the education so you can do it yourself and then teach others how to do it for themselves. Keep an open mind when you're doing this. It's hard, but keep an open mind. Growth is humbling every single day. It's something that I'm passionate about, because growth is education. And if you grow, it's because you're learning, you're growing, you're educating yourself, and it leads to more hope in the future. So let's carry that hope into next week. Continue the motivation, keep the momentum going. If you want a supplement, I'm a big fan of Zen right now. Zen and resveratrol, let's go with two supplements. Zen and mitochondriac. Zen and mitochondriac and liver prime. Those are three supplements, I lied. Zen, mitochondriac, and liver prime. Those three supplements will be three of the most foundational supplements for your hormones, your metabolic health, and your brain health, and your mood and energy. Zen, mitochondriac, and liver prime. Use code NURSEDOZA. And let me know how you feel after about 2 or 3 months. I'll see you in class. Keep working on your health. Class is concluded.